Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello. Welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
Now, let's talk to Ken Marsh. He's the chairman of the Metropolitan Police Federation. Ken, good evening.
Good evening, James.
Now, this is the question on everybody's lips, Ken. Are the police in this country, particularly the Met, are they racist?
No, they're not.
Or are you racist? Are they racist? Whichever way.
No, absolutely not.
Why are these demonstrations saying that our police are just as bad as the Americans, do you think?
Well, I don't know. That's a very difficult question, James, and we'd need a couple of hours to answer that. Obviously, what's going on in America where this started was horrific, and that's set this all rolling. And people have jumped on the back of that and quite rightly want to show their feelings in relation to that. I don't know where the correlation then links us to what's taking place over there. I think policing in the UK has moved massively in my service over the last 25, 30 years. And I would think it would be very, very unfair to start saying that we are institutionally racist and everything that goes with it, because we're just not. If you look at the Met, 32,000 officers, we now have just over 7,500 BAME officers within the Met. Now, I would say to you, that's still not enough, but by God, that's a stride and a half to where we were when I joined the Met. You know, that's nearly a third of our officers, so come on.
Is it different? Well, that doesn't mean that there aren't officers who are racist, probably a number of their colleagues know that. I mean, the other thing is that the police do use the tactics of shouting loudly at people, even when they're being shouted at loudly themselves. And I know the temptation, and I'd feel it as well, if somebody was spitting in your face or trying to punch you or whatever, there is a huge wish to retaliate. But, of course, a police officer can't and shouldn't do that.
But that's got nothing to do with racism. That's just to do with a human being and the way you treat a human being. And whatever creed, colour or nationality you are, you wouldn't expect to be spat at and vice versa. Mm. Well, you know, we can reel out stories of years and years ago and things that took place. But if we talk about 2020 and where we are today, I'm very proud of the fact that I don't have any colleagues around me or anyone I know within the Met Police who behaves inappropriately or in a way that I would help to remove them from the police service. Mm. You know, it's just we have moved so massively from what you would call the bad days or however you want to name
20, 30 years ago? 30.
Yeah, we're not there at all. You know, we are...
How's that changed, though? What has changed?
Well, what's changed is what I've just said to you, that we've increased massively the number of BAME officers, which gives a new structuring to how we police. Yeah. And internally, if you have BAME officers amongst you with large numbers, then...
Can you explain, Ken, what BAME means? Because a lot of people might not know.
Black and minority ethnic, so that's anyone who's not white Caucasian, basically. Mm. But it changes the whole ethos of policing, and quite rightly, because we've tried desperately to match the demographics of London, which are very diverse. So if you look at it in that way, and then you add to that how we've changed the community policing, how we've tried to embrace fully, you know, the difference is just, it's palpable. It's just, it's incredible, I think.
Now, you don't hear racist, because you used to get, if black police officers would get racism within their own police stations, didn't they? You used to hear that quite a lot. You don't hear that.
No. There's nothing like that whatsoever. The worst thing I think is the racial abuse that police officers get from members of the public at demonstrations and things like that. I think it's horrendous the way they get treated.
I mean, if it's a black police officer, he will, or she will get.
By other.
Do you think it's difficult to attract people from the black community in this country to become policemen or women?
No, we haven't seen that at all. Our numbers are fantastic in the Met. Bear in mind, the 43 forces, we are the only force that has met the criteria required under the Home Office legislation. We haven't struggled at all to recruit across the board, and I think that's fantastic. And I think that speaks for the officers who are already in the Met, that are embracing and welcoming anyone who comes. And we've changed the whole demographic. There's 40% of females. You know, it's a completely different world, believe me.
All right. Good to talk to you, Ken. Thank you very much indeed for your thoughts on that. I think it'll make a lot of people feel a little more relaxed about the whole situation. Yeah. Ken Marsh, Chair of the Metropolitan Police Federation.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Anyway, we're going to carry on talking about what everybody's talking about other than the virus, and that is police brutality in America, and the fact that a lot of people are now coming out, white people included, saying, whites, if you keep silence about this, it means you're racist. Sure. Let's talk to Laura Pullman, New York correspondent for the Sunday Times, who's with us now. Laura, good evening to you.
Hello, James.
How are you first, Laura? Are you okay?
I'm fine, thank you. It's certainly an interesting time to be in America this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you spent the weekend in Minneapolis, is that right?
I did. I flew there on Friday afternoon and then I flew back to New York on Sunday. So it was a quick trip there, but certainly a very interesting one.
Tell us what happened then from your point of view on the street. I mean, everybody's shouting their mouths off and saying what happened without being there. But what actually did happen?
Well, I arrived on Friday afternoon. I headed straight to the place where George Floyd was killed. Outside a delicatessen. And it was not what I was expecting at all, the protest. It was a kind of mixture of a very peaceful protest and also a celebration of his life. So gospel music was blaring out. There were artists drawing portraits of George Floyd. There was plenty of barbecues with people handing out free food. And it was a real range of people. So alongside the black protesters, there were white people, there were Somali families, Hispanic families. And people were expressing their anger and their hurt and their frustration and their exhaustion, but it was all incredibly calm. I'll fast forward to the Saturday, and there had been, again, hours and hours of peaceful protest, but then that evening I got kind of caught up in when the atmosphere absolutely changed and it got a lot more violent.
Why do you think it got a lot more violent? What was the thing that sparked it all off?
Well, just like in New York now, there's a 8 p.m. curfew in Minneapolis, and there'd been peaceful protests, as I say, for hours. And as the curfew approached, the people who were leading the protests, were imploring people using their kind of megaphones to stay calm and to stay seated. They encouraged everyone to sit down. And there are thousands and thousands of people on the street at this point. And most people sit down, but you can spot the troublemakers. And so I saw a small group of people towards the back of the crowd who were standing up. And, you know, they're not carrying Black Lives Matter signs or signs saying justice for George. And instead, in their hands, they're carrying fireworks. So I immediately asked them why they're carrying fireworks. And they say, well, the police start the violence and we're just wanting to protect ourselves. One of the most shocking things I saw was young girl who, and I should say the guys carrying the fireworks were white, by the way, and the young girl that I'm talking about was about 20. She was white and she had a rucksack, and I spotted a machete. I don't know, there was a machete, I shouldn't say that. I spotted a large knife, large knife. Definitely not a kitchen knife poking out the top of her rucksack. The blade was the width of my palm, I'd say. And I just blurted straight out, why have you got such a big knife in your bag? And she spun around and seemed surprised I'd spotted it and told her friend off for not doing her bag up properly. Now, the atmosphere is getting, having been peaceful for so many hours, the atmosphere is really starting to crackle and become much, much tenser. There are helicopters going overhead. And it's impossible, even when you're there, to work out who fires the first bang grenade or throws the first firework or rubber bullets as the police were shooting and tear gas. But in a matter of minutes, it went from peaceful chanting to absolute chaos, and the tear gas was fired straight at us. So your eyes are streaming and your throat is burning and you know, you feel, without sounding too hyperbolic, that you're running for your life at that point, and there's obviously kind of stampeding. And it was absolutely terrifying.
It's a shocking situation, and one hopefully that will be resumed before long. Laura, you stay safe. And thank you very much indeed for talking to us tonight. Laura Pullman, who is the New York correspondent for the Sunday Times.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Going to talk to Lindsay Ray, Deputy Director and Head of Industry Engagement at Marketing Peak District and Derbyshire. Lindsay, good evening to you.
Good evening.
I actually wanted to discuss, a lot of people will be going for staycations if they get the chance this year, whether different areas like the Peak District, for argument's sake, are ready to host people, or are they still shy of people coming?
We are. I mean, obviously, at the moment, nobody is allowed to travel and stay overnight. So we're working within the government guidelines. But I think all destinations are working very closely with their businesses in their local area to start and get them ready, but get them ready responsibly for welcoming visitors back. So we do sort of have the 4th of July as a target. Whether or not that date gets moved back, because obviously the government made it quite clear that there had to be certain stages in place and tests for that to happen. So we're working to the 4th of July for parts of the sector to begin to reopen. And I think ourselves, you know, we've all been in lockdown for a long time. So, you know, we are looking to ourselves go to different parts of the country and have a break from it all, really.
I was surprised that very few tourist organisations, you know, Visit England and Visit everything else, there are lots of them, didn't really want to get off and talk about it. I would have thought it would have been a subject loads of people wanted to promote their areas, but it seems lots of people are frightened that there may, because people can't go abroad at the moment, there may be this influx of visitors. And a lot of people have gone off wanting anyone to go and see them.
I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, obviously, we are all very mindful of the fact that we have all of these beautiful parts of the country also have, you know, it's our home. I mean, I live in the heart of the Peak District myself, you know, and we have to be extremely mindful of the health and well-being of the people who live here. As well, which is why we're all sort of acting very responsibly. We're trying to get people to look at the lesser visited parts of the area here and the UK generally, so that we're not getting big groups of people going somewhere en masse. So we're all putting out very careful messaging for visitors to think before they travel and to check what you know, how busy some of the areas are. Certainly some of the attractions, when they do start and open, will open only at a point where, you know, you will have to book your tickets prior to arrival. And a lot of them will be opening on far more reduced capacity than they would do normally, so that they can guarantee that they can maintain the social distancing. Mm.
How are the hotels and the B&Bs and various places where holidaymakers would go, how are they managing at the moment?
At the moment, everybody's closed. Because we have to be. There have been, you know, there have been some very good grants that have come out from government, certainly in our area, the local authorities, and that the county have been very good. Obviously, on a national level as well, there's the loans that are available. A lot of businesses have altered slightly how they operate because they've had to. So a number of the pubs and cafes in the area have started doing click and collect meals, that you can still get your favourite treat from your local pub, but you just go and pick it up and you take it home and you eat it. So it's helping them.
And they find other lines to sell as well, don't they? Other lines that they can sell. Shopping and stuff like that.
Yeah, and we've got some great businesses in the area that have been doing deliveries, so they've been able to get food delivered out to people, certainly in those early days when people were struggling to get hold of food because the supermarkets had got fairly empty shelves in some parts. But the great thing for us is supporting all of the local businesses in the area, those small producers, and making sure that they are hopefully here. When we get to the other side of it, they're still going strong. And so when visitors do come, we can still offer them, you know, a taste of the area and our usual warm welcome.
Lindsay, thank you very much indeed. And thank you so much for talking to us too. Lindsay Ray, Deputy Director and Head of Industry Engagement at Marketing at the Peak District in Derbyshire.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Loads of happy birthdays coming in from people, Ash, you'll be glad to know.
Well, good evening to you, James, and good evening to the birthday boy, the King of Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
Don't let this go to his head, guys, please.
Yeah.
You don't look a day over 60. It's downhill all the way now. Let me tell you, it's not.
It's been downhill all the way from a long time.
Happy birthday, Ash Hugh in Wales.
Thanks, Hugh.
Happy birthday, Ash.
Thanks,
which mate. You share with Charles II, Archduke of Austria, 1540 to 1590.
Fantastic.
You lived longer than him. You know, he was treated like a celebrity on Drive Time.
That's right, I was a guest.
Well, I mean, listen, you can't knock him. He is a celebrity.
So how's the birthday been? Do you have lots of cards this morning?
Yeah, got a few cards, as usual, you know, very nice.
Three or four.
Happy birthday, dear Ash. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale. Sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.